This is the First Time Podcast.
It's us talking writing and publishing.
Welcome to our Masters series,
where we interview Australian and international authors at the top of their games.
I'm Kate Mildenhall.
And I'm Catherine Collette. Welcome to the First Time Podcast.
Masters series.
Kate, you are in the hot seat today.
The hot seat. I love being in the hot seat, Catherine. I love it when you really interrogate me.
I feel like I need like a torchlight to shine in your eyes.
No, don't, because as you can see, my eyes look a little tired right now.
Okay. The theme of this episode is Adelaide Writers Festival. I remain ever optimistic that you're going to give us amazing gossip. First up, how did you get the invite?
How did I get the invite? I love that that's your question and that you're going to make me reveal my hustling ways. So I went to Adelaide Festival last year. I was invited and it was just the best festival. It's got such a great vibe. It's outside. It's happening at the same time as Adelaide Fringe and Adelaide Festival. So there's just heaps of arty, amazing things going on in the city, heaps of people around. It's free to get in, which means that people kind of wander between the stages and they buy lots of books and there's just an awesome vibe. So I wanted to get back there. And so I did what I do, which is that I pitched myself to the amazing Joe Dyer, who is the outgoing festival director, has done an incredible job and will continue, I imagine, to do an incredible job as she goes for a seat in Parliament in South Australia.
God.
That's what she's doing. Wow. That's what she's doing.
Madeline West on Instagram put up her hand to do the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, people are doing it. So I pitched and I said, I love your festival and I'd love to come and host a couple of sessions if you need someone to host. And she said, yes, I do. And so she got me in. So my, you know, the lesson out of that is if you like hosting, which I really do, I get that a lot of people don't like that, but if that's what you like doing, then that is one way to get yourself into a festival.
Okay, so when you say you pitched yourself,
they presumably
have a formal submissions process. Did you go through that, or that formal submission process is about I want to be interviewed?
Yeah, and
I'm happy to host.
Yeah, and when I say I pitched myself, I should say that also I was pitched via my publisher at the same time. So, you know, there's a general amount of kind of vibing behind the scenes, you know, but what I would say is to people who, for instance, have just come back from a festival is, and I feel like this is kind of pretty basic, but maybe sometimes people don't know these things. For instance, my husband, who, oh my God, I have not told you this, was at a conference dinner the other night and only messaged me at the end of the dinner to say he had been sitting on the same table as Brett Sutton.
Oh my God. Wow.
And at that point said, I really need you to, you know, help me with some of your networking kind of things. And I was like, yes, you didn't even get a picture with him.
How to work the crowd kind of networking.
Well, thing. Just to make sure. So that what I would say to people who have been to a festival to always do is I always spend at least a day after a festival, like following up on anything that I've promised to do or in, you know, introductions that I've promised to do or, you know, saying thank you to the festival director, you know, be a good festival guest, I suppose. And then that's how people develop relationships. And there's lots of people who go to, who have been hosting at Adelaide Festival for many, many years. They don't necessarily have books out at the time, but they have proven themselves to be really thoughtful, you know, great moderators, and they get invited back.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I think particularly the hosting gig, because you're right, it's some people love it, some people hate it.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
It's not
and
for everyone.
It would exist outside that submissions process.
Yeah, it totally does.
Oh, they're like walking around the green room. Exactly. Okay, we're going to do a day by day. I really want to milk this.
Okay.
I know you had an event with Lisa Tadeo.
Yes.
We'll start with that one. Now, I have read Three Women, which mm-hmm. I really loved, but Animal, her latest book, is a pretty different proposition.
It is. I mean, different and also the same. It absolutely comes out of the same material, but it is fiction and it's a pretty wild read. I was extraordinarily intimidated about the idea of interviewing Lisa Tadeo, not only because she's kind of a megastar, also because of the content she writes about, and also it's because she was online. Yeah, absolutely. But you know what was really great is two things. One, I did, as I normally do, like a bunch of listening back to interviews and reading stuff that she'd written, which always is really helpful because it gives you an idea of the context in which a book is A, being read, so being reviewed and, you know, some of the criticisms, etc., but also how the author themselves, so how Lisa has responded to those. And so that then gives you a way, well, for me, that's what gives me a way into the approach for the interview. I would also like to say that last week, and I'm just saying this for our beautiful first time community because I feel like they would like to know this, I did have lunch with Helen Garner at her place following our wonderful chat. And she...
Why this? You made her a cake.
I made her a cake, yeah. Well, she made me soup, so I made her a cake. The cake was good. And I was actually saying to her, like, you know, I was feeling a bit stressed about this upcoming interview. She'd read both Three Women and Animal, and we kind of workshopped it. We workshopped some ideas about things to ask and the kind of issues that I was having both with the book and what to ask. And it was kind of nice to be able to say, okay, well, Helen Garner's given me this approach. Obviously, that didn't mean anything to Lisa, but it did to the Adelaide audience.
Oh, so that was nice. If you see yourself 10 years ago bringing cake to Helen Garner's house while you workshop your upcoming interview at
Adelaide. I don't.
That's a cool moment.
It's a cool moment.
What was the hardest thing to balance in that interview, do you think?
The hardest thing to balance was actually really practical, in that Adelaide does it beautifully, but so she was being live streamed. So she was in front of me and behind me. I was looking in front of me. But to get to be fully concentrating on her, which is, you know, what you need to do to kind of get expression and sense how much longer they're going, you know, the person you're interviewing might be responding, or whether you've hit on a great vein of an idea or a feeling. To concentrate on that and also make sure I was concentrating on the audience and checking if they were getting restless. It was tricky at the start because we'd been moved. Lisa Tadeo is working on the Showtime production of Three Women at the moment, and so she had to swap because of her schedule. And it hadn't, while it was up online, it was too late for the print copy. So there were a bunch of people sitting there who were expecting a bloke to get up in front of them. So I also had to deal with that, thing. And the other thing, which was pretty interesting, really, and I stuffed it up a little bit because I didn't get it in at the start, although I did get it into the session, was that as I was preparing, I realized that it was probably really useful for me to do a trigger warning for this panel event, which is something that while I see a lot online or often hear in podcasts, I don't necessarily see it a lot at festivals, and maybe that's just the events that I'm going to. But so I did talk to Joe and Suzanne, the program coordinator, just to check whether there was a pro forma for that or how I might go about doing that in a way that was the least stressful for everybody, which I did manage to get in kind of halfway through as we approached that content. But that was something that was stressful for me in the lead up.
Interesting. Mm. Okay, so from an ideas perspective, what's the most interesting thing, even if really, really small, that you heard? Is there something that you're ruminating on or that you've found yourself repeating to others?
You know, one thing that was really interesting was that Claire Wright and Eve Reese did a live recording of Archive Fever, and they were talking to Professor John Carty and Dr. Jared Thomas on how museums are dealing with kind of settler colonial collections and how they're dealing with Indigenous items that are in collections. And that was, I wasn't there for the full session, but it was something that I clocked that, like, this is something really interesting that I need to keep reading on. Like, I've got a very kind of, overview idea of some of the issues here and what's happening in this space, but that's something that I'd really like to read more. So I want to follow up on that. And the other one that I immediately went out and bought a book after was Rachel Yoda, who wrote Night Bitch, was in conversation with Bryony Doyle, who wrote Echolalia, about kind of wild motherhood. And just hearing them speak, Bryony is ridiculously smart. She's a Fulbright scholar this year. I've got her book, Echolalia, which has now moved to the top of my reading pile. And I went and bought Night Bitch from the, just because I was compelled to, after hearing Rachel speak about the physicality of early motherhood and some of the issues there. So that was really cool too.
On that early motherhood topic, I remember when I was pregnant, just about to have my son, I think, you gave me Rachel Powers' book, The Divided Heart. I was talking about that yesterday. I was interviewed for a podcast, Creative. You've also been on
this. Oh, yes. The Art of Being a Mum.
The Art of Being a Mum. Great podcast.
Great podcast.
A little bit like Rachel's book, but in a podcast setting. So interviews with different writers and creatives. That book is the most incredible book to give someone who's either pregnant or just had a baby. That is a writer. And is thinking that life in the creative realm is now over.
Yeah. I can't remember who gave it to me first, but I have given it quite a number of times because it's such a good book. It's such a good book.
Reassuring read.
I know.
Basically a series of interviews with different writers and musicians and all different sorts of people about those really, really early stages of motherhood and how they produced art during it. Cool. Okay. When you got back from Adelaide,
I fell asleep is what I did.
Well, I think I was probably not alone in looking through the photos that you had posted pre-sleep on Instagram and feeling just insanely jealous, like a real, not only so meeting sorry. Amazing people, but you do get a sense of that vibe of Adelaide, which I think is a really unique festival vibe by virtue of being outside free, you know, it sort of has a festive.
It is. If it's any consolation, do you remember, I remember one year watching people at Ubud and just being like, I reckon I was hunched over my phone, kind of like just drooling and thinking about like never following people again. So I do know the vibe, and yet I shamelessly post away anyway.
Oh, it looked like a heap of fun. You also sent me a flurry of emails that were, I guess, your 24 hours afterwards setting
my follow-up
up and making good on all the promises, one of which was an intro to Ben Law, who is someone that I have wanted to interview for the podcast for ages.
It's true.
Tell me specifically, how did you meet Ben Law?
So Ben Law was on a panel with Fiona Murphy, who we have interviewed and I hung out with quite a bit, and that was just so ace to meet her in person, and also with Anita Heiss. Now, Anita Heiss is you would have seen a lot of pictures of Anita and I. Anita is very good on the socials. And Anita and I are also both published by Simon & Schuster. So we got to hang out quite a bit. I had my first ever publisher dinner, which was really fun.
With publicists and writers and
Well, the ones who were there. So Indiana Schneider, who had come over from Germany, her book 28 Questions, I've now got in my hot little hands. It's great. She was on with Diana Reid of Love and Virtue fame. But so because Ben was sitting at the signing table with Anita and Fiona, because I know that we have sent an invitation through his agent, but that sometimes agents say no before they actually get to the person, like my agent sometimes does. So I used the opportunity to introduce myself and say, Ben, we've sent you an invitation. It's probably gone to your agent, but I'm wondering, would you be interested in doing this for the podcast? This is what it is. What's the best way to touch base with you? And he said, yes, sure, email me here, which I did, followed up and handed over to you with love, because I know he's high up on your wish list.
So good. I can never respond immediately in those situations. Anyway.
That's okay. You've got to have time to think about it.
You is all lined up. Okay. So of all the people that you met, all right, I've got some faster questions.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdest introduction to someone.
So I did this weirdly myself, and I can't reveal all of the details yet, but hopefully sometime in this master's series we can. But after a mistaken identity email situation, I did make sure that I introduced myself in person to Richard Flanagan, who we'll from here on refer to as Flano. And that was terrifying, weird, and lovely at the same time.
Most likely, and I suspect this is not going to be the same person, most likely to be partying at 3 a.m.
Well,
itself.
Yeah, well, that was actually the group of people who were in my room, my hotel room, for an impromptu after party. Unfortunately, I cannot reveal who those people are because what happens on festival stays on festival, but if you did look at my Instagram feed, you'd probably be able to work it out.
Okay, well, that's a half answer.
Sorry.
Who would you like to have dinner with?
I had dinner with so many people. It was so great. But
okay, if you could assemble a small dinner party, I'm going to give you 4 guests.
Okay. I want to have dinner with Anthony Doerr, who was on the program via online, but I missed it. So he has to be there. Anita Heiss has to be there because she's just so damn fun. I was at dinner with Christos Tsolkas and his delightful partner, Wayne, and I didn't get to talk to them enough because they were on the other side. So I would like Christos to be there. And my festival bestie is Evelyn Araluen, so she has to be there as well. I just, you okay. know, yeah. Is that will be an odd dinner, but I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun.
But I will permit it.
Okay.
If you had to co-write a book with someone that you met at the Adelaide Writers Festival.
Oh, this is such a hard question, Catherine, but you know how I mentioned Fiona Murphy before. It was so fun hanging out with Fiona Murphy, and we ended up sitting on the hill talking about process a little bit for our next books. And I reckon she and I could write a really cool, like, two-perspective thriller. So I'm just putting it
out there. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's mm-hmm. quite specific, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fiona doesn't know, obviously. Fiona, I'll let's talk.
All right, there are all my questions. Do you have anything that you... that we haven't covered that you...
Yes, I would like to ask you something, madam, who's had a book out. I believe you are launching your book in the upcoming week. How are you feeling?
I am. It's less than a week now. Today's Thursday and the book comes out on... Well, the book launches on Wednesday.
Give us the details again, please.
Wednesday, 6:30 at Readings in Carlton. Bram Presser is going to be the launcher. I had a question for you that I did ask you off air, but you said, no, wait, and ask me on air. Launching. We've discussed this before.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think works the best? Is it, do you have to do a speech? Do you just do thank yous and reading or a conversation?
I reckon in convo works. I reckon a reading always works, particularly your reading, Catherine Collette, because it's always super funny and dry. And so I think you have to do a reading. Only has to be really small if you want, but I really think you have to do one. In convo, I think always makes you feel more chilled so that you're not having to get up and do the thing. I think you have to think about the thank yous in the terms that, you know, it's my party. So I get to do the thank yous if I want to, but also Mandy Beaumont's the other night, I don't reckon she did a big long list of thank yous. She thanked people like off the cuff as she was going through her kind of conversation, but she didn't necessarily do one at the end.
Did she do a conversation or did she do
Yeah, she was in conversation with Jacinta Parsons. So I reckon you want your list of thank yous and you want it written down.
You do minimal thank yous, like publisher.
Yeah. Publisher, the people who are there. Yeah, because also remember – everyone basically wants to go and get a drink with you and like get a photo with you and line up to get their book signed. So the longer you talk, the less time there is for people to line up and sign, etc. So, you know, think about it that way too. But also people want to hear about the book and they're there to celebrate you. So don't feel like you have to be a wallflower, Catherine. Have you worked out your outfit yet?
I made this decision also in that climate change anxiety, I decided that my contribution would be not to buy something, but to rent something. So I rented these two dresses, but I think I've just made life way more difficult because neither one of them fits.
But you're still renting, and that is good. And like all the young people are doing it. We've talked about this before. I've been renting.
Just am so impressed. And Oscar wanted out of nowhere to wear a bow tie and a suit.
Oh, Lord, I'm so excited about seeing Oscar in a bow tie and a suit.
You and he. So I managed to find not a suit, but a suit jacket and same coloured pants. And we've got a bow tie for him and all sorts of things. So
I am so excited. Dazzling. I'm so excited.
We'll see.
Okay, so the launch next Wednesday, the Wednesday coming, it's March 16th, 6:30 at Readings. It's free, but you need to book online. The link will be in our show notes. Have you got other things coming up? What else are you doing?
Well, we have a couple of festivals coming up. I am in conversation with Tony Jordan at Queenscliff and Williamstown, which I'm really because I finally got a copy of her book, but I feel like I have to save it until that conversation. Yeah. And then you and I are both in Bendigo.
We are in Bendigo. We now have a fancy new link tree on our Instagram, so you can see our events there. And we've got our Wheeler Centre event coming up, which is going to be super fun too.
Yeah, it'll be good. It's like the opposite of last year.
It is. Things are opening out. Things are fun. Things are also shit for a bunch of our listeners and a lot of places in the world, which we won't harp on about because we all know, but certainly there are a bunch of people in Australia who are doing it particularly tough right now with the floods. Zanny Louise, the amazing Zanny Louise, has organised a Lismore flood recovery auction. We'll put a link in our show notes. There are a bazillion items being offered. It's just like kind of the Authors for Fires auction. People have put up so many things, original artworks, book packs, mentoring sessions. You can, if you are a writer, illustrator, book publisher, agent, you can put your own item up, or indeed you can bid on items or do both, which is what I've done.
We have a little offering.
We do.
Which is exciting. So the offering is now, I think the context for this offering for me is that my nephew's school had an auction of items they were raising money through their school fete, and they asked all the teachers to put in a different like raffle item. The most popular item was contributed by a male teacher. I think it was a PE teacher, like hotly contested. And what he offered was a lunchtime session. So the successful bidder was able to bring two friends to the classroom. The teacher would microwave pies and they would watch the 1992 grand final football in which, you know, Western Bulldogs won or something like that. So I reckon...
So Catherine and I are offering you a coming to our house and microwaving pies. No, that is not what we're offering, but I love the context.
It's something that we will both enjoy. So we are offering a successful bidder and a friend to come to dinner with us. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're both Melbourne-based, so if you're Melbourne-based, that's very easy. If you're not Melbourne-based...
We won't be crossing the river, though, just so you know. If you are south side, you'll have to come north side.
Pick a restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay. Nice. But north side only.
But I guess the location is negotiable. If you are not Melbourne based, we're happy to do it online. So mm-hmm. I have done that before for work. We all ordered Uber Eats. So we will mm-hmm. pay for your Uber Eats mm-hmm. and then we will sit down and watch each other Uber Eat and chat.
Shoot the breeze with us, and dinner is on us. And I'm sure as we go on, we will realize we should have put a bunch of terms and conditions in this, but we are not going to. You can find it on the Lismore Floods Recovery Auction. I'm also offering a mentoring session, which is up there as well.
That's a good session. You're going to read 10,000 words or something, aren't you?
5,000. Back off. Up to 5,000 words, and we can talk podcasting. We can talk anything. We can talk whatever you want. Before we let everyone go, this is the start of a brand new season, really, because the little competition season was like a mini summer season. This is season five of the First Time Podcast, and it is something new. Catherine, what are we doing for season five?
So this is exciting. We are doing something slightly different. We will be still interviewing authors, but the authors that we're picking will be at the more established end of the spectrum. So we basically have had a wish list for basically since the podcast started, and now we're interviewing a lot of authors on that wish list.
And that's not to say that we haven't interviewed wish list people before, but we know that we have got a lot of feedback and people really loving hearing from authors like Helen Garner, Gary Disher, Charlotte Wood, people who have got quite a number of books behind them and who can talk about not only that first time experience, but what they've learned over their career so far. So you'll be hearing one of those interviews every fortnight. And in between those interviews, you'll hear from us chatting loosely, candidly, as we do all the time.
And that's it. It's called the Masters Series. Did we say that?
It's called the Masters Series. We are experimenting with ways in which to make sure we are also bringing you the work of new writers, debut writers, and emerging writers. And we'll be bringing that to you as the season progresses. So this week, we are dropping two episodes at the same time. So you get to hear first up the amazing Tony Burch, who likes to be referred to, you'll hear in the interview, as the Rocket Tony Burch.
Oh, wow.
He is first up. So hope you enjoy. And we will see you all, if you're in Melbourne, we hope, at Catherine's launch. You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.